Chapter 9. Other Marvelous Things. Ben Franklin once said, "There are no gains without pains." But there's even more that you can enjoy in the BDSM lifestyle, so long as you take some time to learn the right way to do things and how to avoid injury, well, the permanent ones anyways. CBT and Pussy Torture. Pussy torture and cock and ball torture is a fascinating examination into some of the most intense pleasure through extreme stimulation imaginable, ranging from binding and beatings to piercing and even scalding or burns. The application of pain to a willingly accepting partner is, for both the supplier and receiver, one of the most powerful and direct methods of tapping into the heart of human sexuality imaginable. CBT. Cock and ball torture, also known as CBT, typically involves the application of hot wax and striking of the testicles, but can also refer to activities that use a harness, testicle cuffs, teasing until blue balls are achieved, and even electroshock. Other methods, such as entrapping the testicles and penis with various chastity devices, ball gags, or stretchers are common. Ball stretchers are sex toys that rest on the testicles and surround the scrotum, adding weight to drag and elongate over time. They normally come in either a rectangle tube that attaches with snaps or a steel two-piece ring fastened together by screws. Either type can elongate the scrotum from 0.5 to 4 inches, or the steel stretcher can add as much as 5 to 10 pounds of weight. Some ball stretchers also have the ability to be locked to force the wearer to the will of the person or persons with the key, adding to the pleasure of the bondage. If worn for long periods of time on a daily basis, permanent elongation can occur. A ball lock, sometimes called nut lock, refers to the attaching of a lock around the scrotum and penis that is sized to allow circulation and some movement, but cannot be removed without being unfastened. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Controlling the penis is a delicate affair because these areas are very sensitive to pain. The skin on the scrotum and the head of the penis are very thick, making them easily susceptible to pain. However, this sensitivity can also provide quick training for a disobedient slave. What you might want to do is use CBT in a punishment session, but use a ball lock or chastity device for longer periods of punishment. Careful, of course, to listen to any safe words or true cries of pain from your slave. After all, if you hurt their penis, it's not going to be any fun for the both of you. If you're new to these practices, start slowly and build up to more and more intense sensations. This is an area where training and classes can help a lot to make sure that you're performing these actions safely. Pussy torture. As in CBT, the most typical torture involves hot wax, spanking, and direct stimulation to the point of irritation, but extreme methods can involve piercing, hanging of weights, forced expansion, and stretching and even piercing of the labia with needles. But it can also be as simple as slapping the labia or applying various clamps and clips to the lips. Cunt busting is another term for direct stimulation and spanking of the vaginal area, and can involve any direct punishment applied to the pussy, such as kicking, squeezing, or scratching the Bartland's glands of the vulva or clitoris. This needs to be done carefully at first to determine just how sensitive the slave is. Some slaves cannot take this kind of pressure. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Just as with the CBT, pussy torture requires a lot of communication before, during, and after a session. You can slowly build up stamina for the slave by using lighter clamps and slowly tightening them. There are clamps that allow you to do this, as well as slowly adding weight to these clamps to stretch the labia. Simple slapping of the labia is a good place to start to see if that provides the effect that you and the slave were both aiming for. Try using both sides of your hand as well as faster and slower movements. You can also slowly build up sensations with paddles, floggers, and crops. Try to vary the sensations so that no one area is becoming too painful. This is especially important during longer sessions of play. Forced orgasms. A forced orgasm refers to the causing of a woman to experience multiple orgasms time and again until it reaches a point of pain and exhaustion. In theory, males can have forced orgasms too, although typically these are dry cum situations and fall more into cock and ball torture than true forced orgasm play. There are many acts of stimulation that can be employed over long periods of time, and all are acceptable so long as they result in multiple orgasms or orgasmic experiences with or without ejaculation. The idea is not to inflict pain or cause damage or sensitivity to the vaginal area, as in pussy torture, but to bring the person to pleasure time and again, forcing them to go beyond any limits they thought they could handle until they simply cannot respond any further. Most commonly, the clitoris is directly stimulated with either vibrators or sexual contact, although any form of stimulation and even mild electric shocks or other pleasurable sensations that can result in climax are acceptable. Often used in BDSM situations, forcing a slave to come again and again in waves of orgasm until they are spent and panting is an ultimate form of pleasurable domination that can thrill both partners while providing that rush that only harder sex play can bring to some. In many cases, bondage and other sexual practices are combined with forced orgasm play, either as a lead-in or as a part of the techniques to cause the victim to succumb to orgasm time and again. There are a number of ways to achieve this. Tying up a slave with a vibrator on their clitoris so that it is stimulated over and over, or continuously applying electrical shocks to sensitive areas in order to get repeated orgasms. Simply applying the right stimulation with a generous amount of lube so that the skin doesn't start to hurt will allow your slave to come over and over again until they are begging you to stop. A note for the Dom or Dame. Forced orgasms are the penultimate in controlling your slave. By making them come, you are taking control of their body and making them have pleasure in front of your eyes. But the key to this is making it something that they cannot control, because more often than not, the slave wants to come and is more than willing to do so. What you might want to try is restricting their movement so that they cannot escape stimulation over and over. You can also tell them not to come and not give them permission to come while their body comes anyways. Now you know that they will, but being forced to do so is the ultimate control. Anal play. Used on both men and women, anal play refers to any sex that involves insertion into or the application of sensation to or about the anus. Both men and women can experience orgasms from the pressure on either the G-spot or the prostate, which occurs when objects are inserted into the anus. It is important that proper lubrication is used and that slow insertion until the muscles relax is taken to prevent tearing of the soft mucous tissues of the anus. Also, the object size should be small to start with, although with experience and relaxation, even anal fisting is possible in most cases. There is something of a taboo about anal sex, probably due to the nature of the opening and the stigma association with human waste. But if care and good cleaning is seen to, this is one of the few sexual experiences that both men and women can experience that will feel exactly the same to both. The opening of the anus itself is the most sensitive, so tongue play and fingering is most common when performing oral sex, but extreme torture, butt plugs, and even deformation and stretching are extreme aspects of this sport that some love to experience or to introduce to others. Besides the sensitive anus insertion, past a few inches provides a feeling of fullness and pressure, as well as stimulating the male prostate gland. The internal portion of the clitoris in women can also be accessed in this manner. Rimming or licking the anus is also very popular, and many men and women who would be ashamed to ask for this particular pleasure find themselves swooning if it is delivered unasked. However, as with any interaction, care to avoid exposure to harmful bacteria dictates care being taken. If penile insertion occurs, a condom should always be worn to prevent infection or risk of hepatitis infection, and oral sex is safest with some form of dental dam or other barrier. If fingers are used, washing with soap and water should be sufficient. Use of dildos or other devices is common in anal play, as is the use of a dildo by a woman on either a female or a male partner. Beads, butt plugs, and dildos that are used for anal sex should not be used for other purposes, however, to avoid any risk of contamination. Any form of sex that involves the anus can be said to fall under anal play, but some BDSM techniques, such as spanking or diaper bondage or potty torture, while closely associated and sometimes used in conjunction with anal sex, do not really fall into this definition. Simply attempting anal play with a slave can be a good way to get them on edge and slightly uncomfortable. Because this area is one that isn't frequently associated with sex, the anus can become a way to humiliate a slave or degrade them during a scene. Introducing pleasure and stimulation to this area and then having them get off from the sensations reduces most slaves to your control. A note for the Dom or Dom A. First of all, anal play isn't for everyone, but in that respect, it's considered one of the more submissive acts that you can have your slave perform. Going into that hole can be humiliating for the slave, as it's generally considered a dirty place that makes them more than willing to obey your commands in order to avoid feeling this way. What you will want to remember is that the anus can be unsanitary, so there are some rules you will want to keep in mind. Anything that goes in the anus needs to be cleaned before it can go in any other hole. Or you can cover whatever is going into the anus with a condom and change the condom before going into another opening. You will also want to go slowly at first when inserting anything into the anus, as it can be easily ripped, even if you can't tell. These tears can lead to infections. Tit torture. Tit, or titty torture as it is known, can fall into many different categories, all of which involve applying some form of torture or pain to normally a woman's breasts or nipples. The most common method of titty torture is to whip or beat the breasts with soft whips and implements, causing redness, swelling, and pain along with arousal and submission. Other more extreme methods may involve piercing, binding, hot wax, stretching, sanding or abrasion, or even branding or tattooing of the breasts and nipples. In most cases, some form of bondage is utilized in conjunction with the torture, although some couples rely on discipline and a master and slave mentality to force the subject to submit to the pain and in some cases even participate in the actions themselves. In many cases, women enjoy the thought of such torture but don't actually want to suffer or at least draw the line at permanent damage or injury, but role-playing, pinching of nipples, and slapping of breasts are for these individuals enough to give them the sensation that allows them to imagine that much worse is being done to them. Feather torture, where application of soft objects for long periods of time until the breasts and nipples are raw and sensitive, is one extreme, while needle piercing and weights or even burning, tattooing, or branding is another. For the person applying the torture, the thrill of control and a feeling of power is a rush that is hard to describe, while for the one submitting to or allowing themselves to be forced into the scenario, the loss of control, pain, and equal parts pleasure are often life-changing. In some cases, a certain element of self-loathing exists in those who enjoy titty torture being inflicted upon them, but most often the victim simply has learned the pleasure the endorphin rush and master or slave games provide. Through a steady escalation of trial and reward and years of sex play, they want to continue to experience a sensation that they have learned to love. In any case, except from the most extreme scenarios, titty torture is one of the safer BDSM tortures that can be employed and still allow a level of permissible violence that drives the inner nature of human sexuality. Men, too, are sometimes tortured and their nipples teased or pierced in tit torture, but this is one domain that is normally reserved for the more glandular of the species. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Tit torture is fun to do on a submissive that is tied up and unable to move away from the torture. Even the most innocuous things can be used to torment the tits, for example, ice and wax. What you might want to do is blindfold your slave so that she cannot see what you're doing, and then start to change the sensations on the nipples. By moving from softer sensations to increasingly hard ones, blood will be rushing to the nipples, making them erect and ready for clips and other fun toys. For a male slave, torturing the nipples can be demeaning and make this slave feel controlled and emasculated if he wants you to do so. This is a great way to add more sensations to a feminization scene as well. Corsets. The corset is actually an item of clothing from the 16th century that was most popular during the early to mid-1800s. Its purpose was to cinch a waist to help form the extremely small waist desired on women of the period. It was quickly discovered that some women enjoyed the sensation of being held or hugged, and that they could also improve back problems. Based on panel-cut bodices, a corset is easily made by most seamstresses and consists of three layers: the outer layer of decorative material, the inner lining which holds the shaping elements or bones, and a lining to the outer layer designed to give strength and a smooth, neat appearance. Eyelets to allow you to remove and tighten the corset are placed and typically bound with satin ribbon or nylon cord as desired. Another side effect of a corset is that they make the wearer feel very warm, and to work without chafing or causing pinched nerves or other problems, they need to be custom fit as they become an intimate piece of wardrobe unlike any other. As with any such specialized and life-altering objects, a certain fascination with the fitment and wearing of corsets came into being, and an entire fetish began to develop around this cult following. Today, many corsets are often nothing more than a tight bodice or sexy lingerie and are considered a huge turn-on by many. Since it typically takes time and effort to get into and out of a corset, the simple act of dressing or undressing can take on a whole new aspect, and this is a large part of many couples' foreplay. A few more elements also use extreme corsets and BDSM torture in master and slave scenarios, sometimes forcing slaves to wear their corsets tighter and tighter, even forcing body reshaping over long periods of time. The basic styles of corsets that exist or have existed include Elizabethan or Tudor, 18th century, wasp or hourglass, pipe stem, Victorian hourglass, or the Edwardian S-curve. With BDSM play, the most common corset is long and rigid, and movement is restricted in this corset, usually called a discipline corset. These are generally extended almost to the knees and are often custom made to allow for long-term wear. Corset binding is an interesting and rather intimate aspect of BDSM, and while not for everyone, it is very fulfilling for those whom it holds a fascination. However, it can be a great way to extend a scene throughout the day and into normal activities. With each movement, the slave is reminded of their corset and the control that it is inflicting upon them. A note for the Dom or Domé. A corset can be used during an intense bondage session to increase the slave's submission. Because this corset will restrict their breathing, they will need to maintain their composure and their control, or they will begin to hyperventilate. Of course, you'll want to watch for the signs of this and stop any scene that seems to have caused the slave to become too excited. You can also use a corset when you are out with other normal couples, as it will remind the slave that you are always controlling them, even when you're not in the dungeon. Foot worship. Commonly referred to as foot fetish, foot worship is a scenario when someone has fixated on the foot and associated paraphernalia as their principal sexual focus. Although many scoff at such extreme examples of sexual preference, the difference in this and men who are fascinated by a woman's breasts or butt, or women who look at a man's package or butt, is really very minimal. None of these have anything really pertinent to the purpose behind our sex drive, which is procreation. But we each learned to appreciate and associate various aspects of sexuality with different sensations and body parts as we mature, and understanding and acceptance of this is now becoming more common. With foot worship, unlike most BDSM activities, the person who has the fetish often is the one submitting to any torture or degradation, often enjoying when their partner steps on them or bruises or hurts them by walking on them with stilettos, high heels, or hard shoes on. They may also wish to kiss and coddle the foot of their partner or suck on their toes. A large part of foot worship is often the shoes and stockings covering the feet themselves as well. Most commonly, those who are into foot worship enjoy a nice stiletto or high-heeled look, but some turn more towards work boots and or hip boots. There is also a huge diversity in foot worship, with the foot itself versus the shoes that are on the feet being the focus. For most true foot worshippers, it is the foot itself that holds the attraction, and the shoe is just the garnish or tool used in the act of submission. Just as with all attraction, varying types and styles of feet are found to be attractive by varying partners as well. Foot masturbation is also a huge turn-on for many men and women, with some women fantasizing about their partners inserting their feet into the vaginas and men wanting to slide their penis between the toes. For many, the pleasure obtained by a vigorous rubbing of the penis by the feet of a partner who is sitting above or on top of them rivals, if not exceeds, the pleasure of sexual intercourse in any other form. With the exception of the mouth and the hands, feet are the most dexterous of our limbs, and the strength and callous nature of the feet lends a firmness that cannot be found with any other extremity. All in all, foot worship is a thoroughly entertaining fetish that everyone should experience at least once. Odds are that even if you find it's not the turn-on for you, that it is for some, you will be pleasantly surprised at how erotic and sensual the feet can be, and how much fun experimenting with body parts outside the ordinary can bring into a relationship. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Foot worship is often used as a demeaning act for slaves. By kissing the feet of their dominant, they are showing their allegiance to their master or mistress. Of course, if you're a Dom or Dom A that gets off on this kind of foot worship, the slave can serve you well by kissing and stroking your feet. Be sure to show the slave exactly how your feet need to be caressed and sucked so that your slave can serve you and give you the ultimate pleasure. For some slaves, they might even see this action as a reward, so keep this in mind for that slave and allow them to serve you in this way at the end of a challenging scene. Golden showers. A golden shower refers to the act of being peed upon or peeing upon someone. It is a form of domination BDSM play that is mostly harmless, albeit a little messy, and is often referred to as water sports or by its technical names of urolagnia, urophilia, or undinism. Most people who are into golden showers are also intrigued by, if not interested in, urinating in front of others and or drinking or bathing in urine. Some people only need the smell of urine to get turned on, while others enjoy the concept of wetting their bed or wearing a diaper. In some BDSM scenarios, it is used to humiliate a slave partner by denying access to a bathroom and forcing incontinence, and then even pouring the urine over them or making them drink it. The terms associated with this fetish include voyeurism, the act of watching a golden shower or watching someone pee, a consensual version which is called pussing, where a male watches a woman pee, desperation, holding or forcing someone to hold back from urinating, or cloth soiling, having a feeling of pleasure from the warm pee soaking into their clothing. Drinking of urine is not really hazardous so long as it is not swallowed, and normally is okay even then in small quantities, although it is high in sodium and other waste materials. In the Middle Ages, the upper class used to drink urine for the teeth-whitening properties the uric acid and ammonia had, in fact, and many alternate medicine practices today still insist that there are even health benefits to drinking some urine in certain cases. A note for the Dom or Dom A. You may want to save golden showers for the bathroom or other area with easily cleaned floors. This will just make things less messy and much more fun. You can use golden showers as a punishment for slaves that enjoy being humiliated and made to wear the urine on their body or made to hold urine in their mouths. This is also a good activity for a restricted slave that cannot move out of the way of the urine as it hits them, creating a subservient toilet for the Dom or Dame, further objectifying them and making them a thing that is owned. Medical devices and sounds. This brand of BDSM is most commonly associated with the speculum, the tool used by gynecologists in a female examination. However, a whole bunch of sexual appetites exist around any medical device, procedure, or sound imaginable. Almost always associated with some form of master-slave play, where the implement or sounds are used upon a restrained or passive partner, the list of medical implements commonly used is large and includes retractors, such as the Rigby and Gosset, Alvard vaginal, rectal, and anal speculums, Sim sound, hammers, such as the 8-pin and Babinski, medical gags, dilators, such as the single, diddle, Hager, and rosebud, forceps, such as the sponge and uterine, and many more. For most that experience and enjoy this type of BDSM play, the doctor and nurse scenario was their first foray, and most extensive and obscure variations become more common as their tastes and experience grow. Casting, wearing a body or other casts, as well as insertion of medical sounds, a dilation device used to expand the urethra or openings of wounds, into various bodily parts such as the urethra, is also common variations and is harmless and enjoyable for those participating. Getting into medical sounds and devices can be a costly endeavor, but looking around the local classified ads can often yield cheap and clean hospital beds, while other sterile pieces of equipment can be found through medical supply stores and catalogs. A note for the Dom or Dame. Making sure that your equipment is sterile is the most important part of medical device play. You need to be inserting clean items into your slave so as not to cause infection. If you are unsure of the sterility, use a medical-grade disinfectant or cover the device with a latex condom. For these scenes, they will typically take more time to set up in order to have all of the equipment on hand. You can have your slave do this setup in order to make them anxious about just what pieces of equipment you're going to use. Clamps, clips, and more. This venue of BDSM is often used in conjunction with binding and other forms of restriction, as well as with weights, and is commonly seen in titty torture and CBT. It involves the application of spring-loaded devices designed to pinch or clamp down on skin and nipples, which both restrict blood flow and cause stinging and a certain amount of pain at the localized area where they are used. The simple clamp or clip is perhaps the most widely implemented tool of torture in all its forms. From clothes hangers and paper clips to medical forceps, a wide variety of implements are used in this type of BDSM torture, applied not only to erogenous zones, as one would expect, but also to earlobes, nostrils, and other fleshy areas. Simple alligator clips with their sharp points are highly effective, but clamps and clips with soft or cushioned points, which avoid any real injury or piercing, are common, especially for those who are not into serious pain or injury, but enjoy the role-playing and submission associated with this play. As with many forms of pain inducement in BDSM sexual fantasy, play clamping as a torture is less about causing physical damage or pain as it is about domination and control, the act of forcing someone to submit to many tortures and cry out is where the real pleasure comes from for the torturer, while the feelings of helplessness and submission, as well as the pleasure endorphins for those being tortured, are the major inducements for the victim as they lay or stand immobile, being forced to suffer 1,000 little stings and perhaps even to beg for more in the hope of ultimate release at some point. Men in particular find the rush of the actual release of the clamps especially pleasurable, and will sometimes have their partners attach clamps to their scrotum and the soft, fleshy parts of their penis, as well as their nipples and or buttocks. With women, the labia, clitoris, and nipples are favored targets, and again, the rush of returning blood once a clamped area is released is in itself a pleasure almost as great as the pain of the original submission. Often combined with weights or bondage in some form or another, clamps and clips are commonly used with titty torture and cock and ball torture, but for the true enthusiast, do not require any dedicated or special attention to these areas. Many begin their love affair with this type of sexual play when they are bitten or nibbled on and find the sensations pleasurable enough to wish to explore it further. Clamping is a natural extension of this. Possible clamps that you might find in your home are binder clips, clothespins, hemostats, chopsticks, which can be bound together with rubber bands for a decorative and effective clamp on a nipple, labia folds, or testicles, hair clips, and barrettes. The list could go on and on. Try going to your local office supply store for a number of seemingly innocuous supplies to clamp your favorite slave. A note for the Dom or Dom A. What you need to know about clips is that the more you apply for a longer period of time, the more sensitive the skin will become. What you might want to do is apply the clips and clamps that you find to the skin in a circle pattern or other patterns that you find amusing and suitable for the slave. For example, use the clamps to spell out slut, and the impressions they leave will remain long after the clips are taken off. You can also have your slave wear a clamp or two when they're out in the daily lives. A small clip on the labia or scrotum can be a gentle but effective reminder of the control you exude over them. Latex. Latex has been with us for a long time. Like rubber, which was the precursor, it is derived from the rubber tree, the Hevea brasiliensis. Originally found in Brazil, these trees mainly exist and are harvested now in Thailand, Indonesia, and Malaysia, all Southeast Asian countries. Latex rubber is not actually the sap of these trees, as is commonly believed, because the actual sap runs deeper inside the tree and is harvested by a tapping process that is highly labor-intensive. There is much hype about latex allergies, which do exist for some, but many believe that these allergies are actually from the powder coatings placed on latex gloves and are a deliberate attempt to cause problems for international trade rather than a natural reaction that everyone would eventually develop. In any case, the application and wearing of latex garments is very popular in BDSM play, as is the painting on of liquid latex and subsequent peeling away. There are few acts as intimate and time-consuming as applying body paints of liquid latex and waiting for it to dry, and for both the submissive and the dominant partners, these acts allow an aspect of closeness and trust that many of the other BDSM role-playing lack to one degree or another. The very physical pain as hairs are pulled and skin is stretched during the removal of dried latex clothing is often seen as a climactic finale to a drawn-out and exciting process in which every inch of a submissive partner's body is exposed to the whim of the dominant to do with as they will. Having elements of bondage and torture, liquid latex is an interesting aspect of latex fetishes, but is not the only aspect common to BDSM. There are many latex clothes that are used either as corsets to restrict movement or binding or torture implements. The stretching and binding nature of latex is second to none in creating a controlled and bound feeling while still allowing feeling to be transmitted through the material, and it is perhaps this more than anything that causes latex garments to be so popular. The fact that they are form-fitting and cause perspiration and heat to be retained are also beneficial to good BDSM sexual fantasy play. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Latex is becoming more readily available in today's market, so it's not as strange to see someone wearing latex in public, so that is an option for play. but many people love the way that latex suits can be expanded to give the wearer larger breasts or give breasts to a male slave. By having your slave wear these items, they can feel controlled by not only the latex, but by your wishes for them to wear them. Latex is also the layer between skin and someone else touching the skin, so you can wear latex as a dom or domé and prevent your slave from ever touching your skin unless you allow them to, the ultimate control over their desires. Fisting. Also referred to as fist-fucking or FF, this BDSM activity revolves around the insertion of a hand and forearm into the vagina or even the anus. Although called fist-fucking or fisting, normally the insertion is accomplished with the hand in an extended position and with a lot of lubricant, after which the hand is clenched. If the size and condition of the vagina or anus is such that it allows, an advanced form of fisting called punching, where a closed fist is inserted, can be employed, but it is a rare and well-conditioned partner who can accept such activity without permanent injury. Those who participate in accepting this type of sexual encounter are often referred to as fisties, and more experienced female partners can often accept two hands at a time in either the anus or vagina, a technique that is referred to as double fisting. Fisties obtain pleasure from the pressure and stretching of the activity more than the insertion or any movement, and risk of bowel or vaginal wall injury if too aggressive play or movement is made is very real and potentially serious, so some level of trust and experience is required. When done correctly and with enough lubrication, however, the risks are minimal and the pleasure for both the fistie and the dominant are very real. Keys to successful fisting include very well-trimmed and manicured nails and excellent lubrication, preferably with a thick, water-based or silicone sexual lubricant. If gloves are used, be sure no oil-based lubricants are used with latex, as this can cause the gloves to break down. It is not recommended that vegetable oils be used, as they can cause bacteria growth. For some beginners, to help aid with the insertion, muscle relaxants such as amyl nitrate are common, but use of any drugs during such activity can be dangerous, since it may mask real damage and serious injury that is occurring. Any sharp or intense pain or blood is an indication of problems or possibly rupture, and medical attention should be sought immediately. Gay fisting, male on male, is often called handballing, and fisting is also common among lesbians, but in BDSM worlds, it is usually about domination and punishment, where a submissive is forced to allow themselves to be ultimately stretched and degraded, often in combination with other aspects of BDSM, such as whipping and bondage. A note for the dom or domé. Fisting needs to be a slow and steady process when you are attempting this on a slave. It helps to get a lot of lubrication on your hand, slowly inserting one finger, then another, and then another, until you have all of the fingers in. Then you will want to slowly curl these fingers until you create a fist, gently pushing the whole hand into position. This process can take a lot of time, as the slave will generally tense and cause their opening to be less than willing to take this size of an insertion. By telling your slave how proud you are of them for accomplishing this goal, you will encourage them to continue to try. Another thought is to have your slave try to fist themselves for you, which might be easier for them as they can control the movement. Enemas. A fun and cleansing BDSM subset is the act of giving an enema, either forced or in a submissive position, and subsequent control of evacuation of the liquid. Considered a spin-off or subset of medical play, enemas can either be used to rinse the inside of the rectum, or you can force the liquid to go up further into the colon and bowels, causing a form of sexual excitement termed clismophilia. When an enema is applied, the body will naturally try to expel the liquid immediately, and much of the BDSM aspects of such play are involved either with the degradation of forcing the submission to soil themselves by placing them in positions where it runs back out onto them, or in forcing them to struggle to hold the liquid in for long periods of time. Use of simple douches and rubber balls with nozzles are common methods to implement enemas. It is best not to use showerhead attachments, as it is difficult to control the temperature and pressure of the water. As with any object to be inserted into the body, it should be carefully cleaned with soap and water prior to each use and never be swapped from anus to vagina during the same session to avoid contamination. Clean water is best, and amounts of about 1 pint or 500 milliliters is plenty. Too much or too frequent can cause significant problems and loss of body minerals, although this can be minimized by adding a pinch of salt with water and eating yogurt after a session. Another aspect of water sports involves enemas and the subsequent loss of the fluid. Many times the dominant will accept the enema themselves and force the submissive to lie, often with their mouth open, and accept having the ejaculate fall all over them. Care not to ingest or get fecal matter into the eyes or ears needs to be taken in cases like this, and a prior cleansing enema before the douching enema is recommended. A few common enema devices that are readily available either at a medical warehouse or online include enema plugs, including inflatable and funnel plugs, enema nozzles and tips, and Higginson syringes, also called a blue bulb syringe to some. Enemas work well to create the very real sensation of having no control over one's body. This allows the dominant to also use any humiliation techniques in addition to the enema to further degrade a slave. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Here's how to perform an enema the safe way. What you need: an enema bag, a clip, and a sterile hose and some lubricant. You can also buy enema kits that will contain these tools, and as well, 2 quarts of warm, not hot, water. How to administer. Fill the enema bag with the warm water and hang from somewhere in the room or hold above the slave. This is obviously best done in the bathroom. Connect the hose to the bag and clamp the water flow so that it does not move through the hose yet. Place the other end of the hose in the slave's rectum, taking care to lube this end for comfort. Unclamp the hose and allow the water to slowly drain into the slave's intestines and colon. Remember that not all slaves can take the full 2 quarts of water, so listen to the slave to see when you should stop the flow. When the water is inside the slave, you can make them hold it in for as long as they can as it sloshes around in their insides. As they become unable to hold it inside any longer, they will expel the fluid back out, causing a sense of humiliation as they cannot control what is happening. Wax and fire. Commonly thought of as edge play, as it is somewhat dangerous and has a high risk of permanent injury, is the use of wax and fire torture on a submissive. As with most BDSM sexual play, the threat of torture and the control and domination is the primary aspect of the act. The hot wax or fire, normally in the form of a lighter, match, or candle, is simply an object with which to threaten and provide the pleasurable pain that the submissive is forced to comply with. Hot wax itself has little risk of permanent injury, although scalding and slight skin burns can occur, especially in the more sensitive areas. The fire torture, however, often leaves scars or small burns. Some extreme measures of burn and fire torture may utilize cigarettes and other smoldering devices to deliberately burn and scar the submissive, but this type of permanently disfiguring activity is very rare and definitely edge play. By far, hot wax is the most common of this genre's activities. Most hot wax play takes place on the genitalia, often focusing on the vaginal lips, nipples, and scrotum, but occasionally involving the anus, buttocks, and stomach or thighs as well. As with much other BDSM, not only is the thrill of submission or domination a source of pleasure, but the submissive also has a release of endorphins due to the pain center being stimulated, which can lead to a substantial high in and of itself. The application of hot wax and the type of wax used are actually very critical to the safety of hot wax play. Some wax types' melt point is high enough that serious burns can occur and require immediate medical attention. Some of the types of wax that should be considered for use as BDSM hot wax include both raw paraffin, melts at 115 degrees to 126 degrees Fahrenheit, and votive candles, 131 degrees to 141 degrees, of which paraffin is the best. Many higher melt point candles, such as beeswax, etc., contain additives to make them have that higher melt point, and these additives, such as stearic acid and dyes or perfumes, all of which can cause rashes or blistering when used in a BDSM-type environment. Ideally, no temperature above 135 degrees should ever come in contact with human skin, so raw paraffin, perhaps with a little crayon additive, is best for wax play, and application is important as well. There are several basic methods to apply hot wax to a submissive, including dripping, pouring, and painting. Whichever you choose, both you and your submissive will enjoy an erotic and sensual time. Just keep those temperatures down. A note for the Dom or Dom A. What you'll want to do is create a scene in which your slave is blindfolded and unable to move away. This will allow you to place the candle far above their body so they won't get seriously burned, but they also won't know when the wax is going to hit them, adding to your power in the scene. You might also want to test them on certain questions, and if they answer wrong, pour the wax on more sensitive areas, the genitals, for example. But if they get the answer right, you can pour it on other areas. Chastity belts. Chastity belts were created in the 1400s either as a way for women to protect themselves or for men to prevent their women from being violated or masturbating unless they were around. The exact date and origin is unclear, but it is known that the first recorded documentation in the West was from a 1400 AD military technology book by Conrad Kaiser von Eichstadt, where it was described as hard iron breeches of Florentine women which are closed at the front. In the 18th century, up until the 1930s, masturbation was believed to be physically harmful, and for a while this gave rise to the use of chastity belts on children and adolescents. Such modern belts were vast improvements on the originals, using stainless steel and leather and buckles, thus allowing for longer-term wear and greater comfort. Indications are that, although now a cottage industry and no longer widely accepted, quite a few chastity belts for masturbatory elimination are still in use today, and it is quite common to see the use in BDSM domination play, where the subjection of a submissive to wearing a chastity belt is the equivalent of taking away their sexual organ in a type of play described often as erotic sexual denial. Many of the modern belts that are sold appear to be for men and often include shackles where the hands can be bound to the belt, thus forcing the submission even further by restricting both access and any hope of removal of the belt. Most have padlocks or integrated locks, and some even integrate with piercing to make removal without the key all but impossible. The two most common types are cage-type devices, which enclose the male genitals in a type of cage, and hence the name, and Florentine, a belt like the originals with a band or shield running between the legs to cover the genitals. Many modern units are made of plastic and or leather to be made metal detector safe, thus allowing play in the real world and even travel with the belt in place. Chastity belts are a wonderful feature for many male slaves, especially as the obtrusiveness of this appliance will affect every moment of their lives, as well as prevent and subdue any erotic response. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Chastity belts are great for male and female slaves because they serve as a constant reminder of who's in control of whom. Have your slave wear a chastity belt for the entire day before you are to see them for a scene to help them remember their place. You can also use a chastity belt or device as a means of punishment, allowing them the pleasure of being touched only when you feel that it is warranted. There are even some doms or domes that will taunt their slaves while they are wearing the chastity belts, making for a very uncomfortable slave that is more than willing to do whatever asked in order to get out of their precarious position. Collar and leash play. Perhaps no other aspect of BDSM is so well identified and understood to be part of the genre than collar and leash play, a game in which someone is turned into property, a la dog or slave, by being put into a collar and leash and controlled and walked by a dominant as though they were an animal. For many, getting a collar is considered a special gift or honor, since it indicates a desire to own or control the submissive in question, and that they are somehow worthy of that dominant's attention. For those outside the lifestyle, it is simply another tool or game to play, but within the lifestyle, collars are much like wedding rings in that they form a commitment and are often even supplied in a ceremony with rules of obedience for the slave to follow from then on. A collar worn in public or at parties indicates that the submissive is owned by someone else and cannot participate without his owner's explicit permission. A common type of collar and leash play is animalization, where BDSM submissives are forced to perform acts that would normally be associated with horses or dogs while wearing collars and leashes, and often while being whipped and ordered about by their dominants. Modern use of collars has seen an increasing practice of full-time submission, and jewelry designed to symbolize a slave collar is becoming more common, as is the concept of joint collaring, which is almost the same as wedding rings in a BDSM relationship. Types of collars vary, but can be broken down into the following basic categories. Training, used while a submissive is under probation and being considered for ownership. Former, also known as a permanent or slave collar, showing ownership and association. And protection, worn by new submissives to show that they are being protected by a particular dominant, temporary and returned after the event is over. Study of collars and how they are utilized and seen by the BDSM community outside of simple roleplay can lead a voyeur to a greater understanding of the people and lifestyle of BDSM, and may even cause them to ask for a protection collar and intro to that lifestyle themselves. A note for the dom or dome. This kind of play is most effective when done in public settings. What you may want to do is find a slightly erotic collar that your slave can wear in public, but in a way that makes them slightly uncomfortable. Here's an idea. Have your slave go to a pet store where they can have a collar-making machine for dogs and cats. Have your slave inscribe a collar with their name and John Doe's slave, or some other phrase. For a male slave, have them choose a pink collar, and for a female slave, have them choose a color that really stands out. Have the slave make the collar, and then present it for payment with some form of payment that shows their name, so that the clerk will see who the collar is for. The slave will then need to wear it home, as well as in other public places. Branding. Another BDSM favorite that has begun to gain widespread acceptance, much as tattooing has done, is branding, the act of creating a permanent mark by burning the skin and leaving a welt or brand on it. Normally done with a hot metal object, with the sole intent to scar the body, this can be done either as an act of submission and commitment to slavery, if not to the particular dominant in question, or simply to enjoy the pain and endorphins that are released from the injury. Location can be anywhere, but most who participate in these types of marks have them placed high on the outer thigh, on the breast, or in the stomach area above the crotch. As with animal branding, various marks exist that identify who owns the slave in question or says something about the submissive, but due to the smaller size of brands and the complexities of human skin and scarification, less intricate detail work on brands is necessary to ensure it will last. Some people who like the concept of branding but are not into pain will have faux brands done with ink markers or a tattoo, which is also known as a cheat brand at times. Typically, branding is a serious mark of commitment and ownership, and not a form of BDSM play. And due to the solemn nature both of the symbol and the damage it can cause if not performed by someone with the skill to ensure the safety of the submissive, it should not be entered into lightly or without full consent and understanding of what is involved. Here is your slave assignment for the end of this chapter. Your goal after this section is to fantasize about a few of these possibilities for your next scene and then talk about them with your master or mistress. You might also want to keep a list of the things that intrigue you if you hadn't heard of them before now. Write down things about each of these tasks that arouse you and which things turn you off. This will give you a greater understanding of your personal desires and how to satisfy them. A note for the Dom or Dom A. Branding needs to be done with the slave's full understanding that the mark may be permanent, so this is a type of play that needs to be fully discussed before it is even attempted. Try a few methods on unnoticeable pieces of skin first before you attempt a brand that is larger and more noticeable. This is the end of Chapter 9.